Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin 12 lines from the bottom of daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, a very, very important Gemara as it relates to the core sugyas of Masechtas Chulin and a really festive daf. Goof. Amar Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Rab Shimon ben Lakish said, Shachat es hakana, if the shoychet shechted the kana, the trachea, meaning one of the two simonim of a behemoth, va'acha kach nikva hareya, and afterwards the lungs of the animal got a nekev that should technically render the animal a treifa. So Reish Lakish said a chiddush. The Gemara discussed it on the top of the omit ksheira. The halacha is that the behemoth is going to be kosher, and although technically a nekev in the reya should make the animal treifa, being that it happened after the shechita of the kana, the animal's not going to be a treifa. Oh my Rava, Rava said, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish ela bereya. When Reish Lakish said his halacha, he meant dafka the reya, meaning he didn't just say nikva hareya as an example of a treifa, but rather he meant dafka that example. And the reason is because the trachea is attached to the lungs. And it's for that reason, in halacha, we look at the kana and the reya as being one aver. Being that we look at them as being one aver, and the sheikhid already shechted the kana, he technically killed that aver. So if he killed that aver, the fact that that aver now got a mortal wound doesn't bother me. Meaning, that's pashit, said Rava, that if an animal would become a treifa in between the shechita of the kana and the veshet, then the animal would be a treifa. And you would not be able to shecht the second simen in a kosher way so that the animal wouldn't be an avela anymore. The reason that this is not an issue is because the reya is attached to the kana, and the shechita already took place in the kana, which means the kana and the reya are technically already dead. If that's the case, it doesn't bother me that the reya has a treifa. The Lashon HaGemara on the top of the Amid was, and this is a very important Lashon HaGemara, is it's keman de mancha bedikula damya. Once you shech the reya, we look at the reya and everything that's attached to it as if it's sitting on a basket. It's not in the animal. And just like if an aver was in the basket, any nekev that it would get would not render it a treifa. It's for that reason, it wouldn't be a treifa either. Says the Gemara, Avil b'bnei me'ayin. But let's say the b'nei me'ayin, the intestines of the animal, would get a nekev or some other part of the animal. Over there, the halacha would be that it's pashut would be a treifa. Maskef or Rab Zeira asked on Rav, he says, I don't understand. Mi'achash enoldu b'simone treifa hitarta. If you're telling me that an animal that gets a simen of a treifa in between the shechita of the kana and the veshet is not a problem when it happens in the reya. Mali bereya, mali b'bnei me'ayim. I don't hear the chiluk. In other words, Rav Zeira argued fundamentally with Rava's understanding of Reish Lakish. Whereas Rava said that Reish Lakish's case was where nikva hareya between the shechita of the kana and the veshet, dafka the reya, because the reya is attached to the kana. Once you shech the kana, I don't care what happens to the reya anymore. The reason is because the kana and the reya command the mancha b'tikula damya. It's as if they're not even in the animal anymore. So it's pashut that it wouldn't render it a treifa. But Reb Zeira said, I disagree. I don't think it's a svara dafka in the reya. But I think Reish Lakish said it with regards to any aver, even the bnei me'ayim, which are not attached to the kana. The bnei me'ayim are attached to the veshet. But even the bnei me'ayim, if it would get a nekev after the shechita of the reya, it wouldn't be a treifa. And the reason is, like Rashi explains, because Reb Zeira said that I think what Reish Lakish is saying is that an animal, once you shecht one of the simanim, can't become a treifa anymore. It's not dafka the reya because it's attached to the kana, which is punk the simen that you attach. But there's a halacha that an animal could be a treifa if you didn't start the shechita. But once you start the shechita, even if you shechted one simen, nothing to do with yeshlo shechita b'tchila v'atzayif or ein lo shechita el lo b'tzayif. The point is that once you started the shechita, there's only a chatzi chiyos remaining in the animal, says Rashi. At that point, there's no way for an animal to be a treifa. Says the Gemara that even though Reb Zeira was maskefla, he came very, very self-confidently. He asked very strongly on Rava, but the Gemara says, "V'hadabei Reb Zeira." Later, Reb Zeira was chayz. How do you know that by Reb Zeira? Reb Zeira cleared a shayla. Nikvu bnei me'ayim in simen l'simen ma. What happens if the shoychet shechted the kana, and then after the shechit of the kana, the bnei me'ayim got a nekev that should technically make the animal a treifa, and then he went and he shechted the veshet. Reb Zeira wasn't sure. Mimit star of simen rishon l'simen sheni v'tara b'dein avelo. Do we say that at the end of the day the shoychet shechted both simanim so that this animal will not have tumas nevela, or do we not say that and we say that the animal will have tumas nevela? Now, it's clear, says Rashi, for Reb Zeira Shailo, that Reb Zeira was never proposing that he should be able to eat this animal. The reason is because at the end of the day, it's a treifa. His shaila only was, could you be mitzarif the two shchitos, the shchita of the simen rishon and the shchita of the simen sheni, to say that although you can't eat it because it's a treifa, but at the very least it shouldn't be an avela, so it shouldn't be tomek. But what's the difference between a treifa and a avela? You can't eat a treifa, you can't eat an avela. They're both alav sheish by maisa, they both involve malchus. What's the difference between a treifa and a vela? The difference is tumah. A treifa has a kosher shchita. Being that it has a kosher shchita, there's no tumas nevela. A nevela never had a kosher shchita. As a result, there's always going to be tumas nevela. So Rav Zeira Shaila was, in this case, where nikvu bnei meayim, bein simen lesimen, do you say that at the very least there's a shchita to say that it's not a nevelo so that there won't be tumas nevelo? Or no, you can't eat it and it's not even tumas. Now what's the shiloh? So Rashi explains the shiloh was as follows. The shiloh was that maybe the only time you can be mitzar of the two simonim is if the two simonim were doing the same thing. In this case, the two simonim were not doing the same thing. The first simon, its shchita took place before nikva b'nei me'ayim, which means that shchita was able to be mitahir the animal midei tumas nevela, and also be materit la'achila. The second simen happened after it already obtained this wound. As a result, it didn't have the ability to be materit ba'achila. All it had the ability to do was to be matar midei nevela. So being that the shchita of the two simonim are not accomplishing the same thing, so Reb Zeira was clearing along this, maybe that means that you can't even be mitzarif the shchita of the two simonim. The Gemara said after Reb Zeira declared the shayla, v'amrina, the oilam told Reb Zeira, lav hainu de boy ilfa, isn't this ilfa shayla? What did ilfa clear? Hoitzi uber es yodai, bein simen le simen, if an Uber. So who was Ulfa? No, stuck his hand out. No, we'll have to wait for the rain. Exactly. Hoitzi Uber. As the other been similar to Simba. What happens if the Uber would stick his hand out? One word. So Ulf and Shaila really requires a little bit of background. And that is, the halacha is that if you shecht an animal, a female animal, and the animal had an Uber, the halach is the shechita of the mother works for the uber as well. Stating that, it only works if the uber never left the mechitzos of its mother. But let's say, before the shechita, the uber stuck its hand out of the mother's guf. The halach is that would cause that the shechita wouldn't work. Now, that's only true with regards to the shechita being matter, the uber la'achim. But despite the fact that the shechita does not work to be mata the uber la'achila, it would work to be moitzi midei nevela. So Ilfa Kleder, a very similar shayla to Reb Zeira shayla. Shayla was, what happens if the uber stuck its hand out being similar simen? Mia mina, do we say mitzarif simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tar midei nevela? Do we say that at the very least the two simonim could be mitaher this uber midei nevela, or maybe not? And what would be the svara not? The same svara like we said before. Because the shechita is accomplishing something different with regards to the simen rishon than it is with regards to the simen sheni. The simen rishon happened before the uber stuck its hand outside of the body of the mother. As a result, that shechita technically was able to be moitzi the uber midei nevela, was also able to be matrit ba'achila. The second simen happened after it was ready hoitzi uber asiyata. At that point, all it had the ability to do was to be matir midei nevela. So the shayla could have been mitzar. But either way, so they told Reb Zeira, your shayla is all for shayla. But what's the bottom line? What do we need from here? Atkan everybody learn all the time midei nevela. What was Reb Zeira's shayla? If not kvo bnei meayim, bein simen l'simen, it's poshi, now let it eat it. The shayla was, do you have tumas nevela or not? This lomdish shayla, could you be mitzarif to two shchitas, being that the two shchitas are technically not on the same level? Avo b'achila asur, but every regis is going to be also b'achila. The kash is, if Reb Zeira said that when Reish Lakish said his halacha of shochet as akon of achak nikfa rei, kshay was lapped after rei, even the b'nei me'ayim, then in that case, this is a regular good shchita. The fact that it became a treifa in between the two simonim is not a problem, because at that point, it only had a chatz and ain't treifa b'chatzin chios, says the Gemara Malir of Achabara. Ravino, duma lo'ilam lehadabe. It's not muchach that Reb Zeira was chayzer from his understanding of Reish Lakish from the fact that he cleared this question, because it could be Reb Zeira l'dvar v'der Rav HaKama v'lei l'sir. It could be Reb Zeira was only clearing the shayla libe the Rava, but as it relates to he himself, he never held that way. The bottom line is, Reish Lakish said a very, very important halacha. Reish Lakish's halacha was, nikfa hareya, between the shechita of the kana and the shechita of the veshet, the halacha is ksheira. I mean, the machloikis is Rava and Reb Zeira. Whether Reish Lakish meant dafka nikva areya, because the reya is attached to the kana, and once you Shecht, the kana and the rea are command the mancha b'dikula damya, and as a result, any nekev that it attains can't affect the animal anymore? Or did he lav dafka mean the rea? He just mentioned the rea as an example. But even if it was the b'nei me'ayim, which is not attached to the kana, it's attached to the veshed, over there you would have the same halacha. It would seem to be a machloikis, rava and rabzer. But the Gemara continues with a very, very important halacha related to Reish Lakish. Very long, the Shigamar. I'm Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Shmami, no, Madrib Shem ben Lakish, Lachura, you could be Mechiach from Reish Lakish as halacha, that Mezamnin Yisrael al B'nei Meyayin, Ve'im Mezamnin Oibnei Lechavim al B'nei Meyayin. That if you want to invite a Yid over to your house, that he should eat a meal with you, you could serve him even the B'nei Meyayim of the animal. But you can never invite an Oibnei Lechavim to your house, have dinner with you, and serve him the b'nei me'ayim. My time. What's the reason? You saw the b'shchita talya milso. A yid is allowed to eat an animal as soon as it has a kosher shchita. It's given to ikka shchita mal yisa. Everything in the animal is mutter to be eaten. But a guy doesn't need shchita in order for him to be able to eat food. A guy has the sheva mitzvah, one of which is eva menachar, which means he's not allowed to eat a live animal. He can't even eat an aver that came off of a live animal, even if later the animal died. It doesn't matter. Any aver that departed from an animal while it was alive is a problem. But in order for there not to be an Isra Eva Menachai, all you need is Nechira. You just need that the animal should be dead. It has nothing to do with Shechita. If that's the case, Ubemisa Talia Milso, the guy needs the animal to be dead when the Eva of the animal departs from the animal. Hanik Eva Menachai Damu. The B'nei Me'ayim are always going to be considered Eva Menachai. What's the reason? The reason is very simple. Because the definition of Shechita is Shechita's Beis Simonim. The Simonim are the Kana and the Veshet, the trachea and the esophagus, respectively. The Metzias says that after the Shoichet shechts the two simonim, the animal's still alive. It's what we know as mifarcheses. It's a very short period of time. It's a few seconds. But for a few seconds after the shchita of the kana and the veshet, the animal's still alive. Listen to the lumdus of the Gemara. If Reish Lakish said that as soon as you shecht the kana, the rea, which is attached to the kana, is command the mancha b'dikula damya. It's as if it's not part of the animal anymore. So much so that if it gets a nekev, it wouldn't make the animal puzzle. The same should be true with the b'nei me'ayim after you shech the veshet. The b'nei me'ayim should be command the mancha b'dikula damya. It should not be part of the animal anymore. That means every single time a shoichet shechts, he shechts the kana, then he shechts the veshet. So anything attached to the kana and the veshet is not part of the animal. The animal's still alive. It's still mefarcheses for 3 seconds, whatever. But the animal's still alive, and at that point, those evarim are not part of the animal. You know what a chelik of an animal that leaves the animal while the animal is alive is called? It's called evim menachat. Now, for a yid, it's not an issue, because although it's true, technically, from a lumdis, from a halachic standpoint, the evarim, evim menachat, this is so geschmack, but at the same time, he did a shchita. And by a yid, b'shchita tal yirachmana. But a guy has nothing to do with shchita. When you look at a guy, could a guy eat this or not eat this? Very simple. Is the animal alive or is the animal dead? So if you do a kosher shchita, you do shchita's beis simanim, it's very nice, you have a kosher shchita, mahajim and a mahajim. But being that the animal's still alive, a guy's still not allowed to eat from it. If that's the case, the rei, the b'nei me'ayim, all these things that are attached to these evarim, if they breathe, these things left the animal while the animal was still alive. L'chura said, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, a chiddush neira, ein mezamnim oivdei kechavim al b'nei me'ayim, but mezamnim Yisrael al b'nei me'ayim. In other words, it's going to come out that a yid is allowed to eat the b'nei me'ayim of an animal that had a kosher shechita, but a guy is not allowed to eat the b'nei me'ayim of an animal that had a kosher shechita. Amar Rapapa said a little bit of drama. I was sitting in shit when Rav Acha bar Yaakov said this. And I was dying to ask the following question. He said, how is this possible? Me immediately Yisrael Shari Levi Kechavim Asa. No such thing. How could it be that the B'nai Miayim is mutter to a Yid and it's Asar to a guy? Like Dovi. He didn't ask the Kasha. The Amino, and I assume the hot time will come. Because Mestam Rav Acha bar Yaakov has a... I don't think he gave me the benefit of the doubt. He said, a timer comer. It says the Gemara is stating that Tanya the Leiker of Acher by Yaakov, that Rapapa really should have asked the question, because as we're going to see now, we have a Mefurish Rice and Al-Gyakdo. Right? So, Lechem with the Hema, Kodesh Tate Sein Afshar. Somebody wants to eat from an animal, and he wants to eat it before the animal actually dies. We'll see in a moment that apparently it was considered healthy to eat the meat that departed for an animal while it was alive. Problem is, it's Eva Menachai. But if somebody wants to do it, there's a way to do it. You take off a little bit of basa from the Beis HaShechita. It's just practically, it's easier to do it from the Beis HaShechita. Umolcha yafa yafa. You have to do a melicha, obviously. Umadicha yafa yafa. You have to wash it, obviously. And you wait for the animal to die. And the Braisa says, Echad Evi Kechavim, the Echad Evi Yisrael Mutarim Bay. A Yid's allowed to do it and a guy's allowed to do it. Now, a Yid's allowed to do it, we understand. Because once it has a kasher shechita, even if it's still alive, it's mefarcheses, but b'shechita tayi rachmana. But why is a guy allowed to do it? L'chura by a guy b'nechira tayi rachmana. So if it's totally nechira, it should not be okay. The reason is, it's like Rapapa wanted to ask, because mi ikon midi de l'Yisrael shari levi kechav maser. At the end of the day, if it's mutter for a yid, it has to be mutter to a guy. The Gemara says, Messiah le Rabbi de Bar Abba, no Rabbi de Bar Abba, no Rabbi Yitzchuk Bar Ashken, or Itzu Sheyavri. Somebody wants to be healthy. Choytech kezayis pasa mi vei shchita shabahema. He should cut off a kezayis pasa from an animal while it's alive. Umolcha yafa yafa, umadicha yafa yafa, umam tlaat shatetze in afsha, echad oive kechavim, echad Yisrael mutarim. But again, Yisrael, we understand, but why a guy? Isn't that Eva Menachai 101? The answer is yes. But at the same time, there's a rule. Mi ikumidi dili Yisrael shari ula oivet koichavim aser. So the Gemara comes out with a machloikis, Rav Acha bar Yaakov and other Amoraim. At the end of the day, the Gemara seems to bring a brisa that resolved this dispute, and that is that even though in Svara the Gemara wanted to argue that it would make sense that Eim Mezamnin Oiv de Kechav al Bnei Meayim, and the reason is based on Rish Lakish's lumbus that as soon as you shech the kana and the veshet, anything attached to the kana and the veshet is commanded mancha b'dikula damya, even though the animal is still alive, it l'chura then by definition means that it's eva menachai, but being that it's mutal Yisrael, because for Yisrael, the definition of whether something is eva menachai or not depends on shchita, just like a ben pekua, Yisrael's allowed to eat it, but no, it's not allowed to eat. Why? Because ben pekua had to head the shchita of the mother. The point is, b'shchita tayi rachmana, so that even though technically for the goy, it should not be okay, but based on me, it immediately Yisrael, shari, levi kechav maser, it would be okay, and that seems to be the maskana sagamar. Stating that, the achroinim, and it's the Pesach Tshuva brings the Achroinim in Hilchos Shechita in Simin Chav Zayin, the Tefuah Shor and others say, what would be if a Shoichet was doing Shechita and it was a Shechita Psula? So for example, he messed up, there was Shia, there was Chalada, there was Drasa, he did a Shechita Psula. He shechted the two Simonim, that's how he killed the animal, but the Shechita was not a Kosher Shechita. And being that it's not a kosher shechita, it's going to be an avela. Say the achroinim, it should come out that in that case, you would not be allowed to give the bnei me'ayim to a guy. Why not? Because really, the guy is not allowed to eat the bnei me'ayim. The reason is because it's eva menachai. Because as soon as you shecht the kana and the veshet, we look at the bnei me'ayim as if they command the mancha b'dekuladan. The problem is the animal's still alive for a few seconds. If that's the case, it's as if you remove the eva from the animal while it was alive, so that even if the animal dies later, it's going to be eva menachai. Now, the Gemara said that it is okay. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said it wasn't okay, but Rav Papa said he wanted to ask the question, and we had a brisa, and we had a misayeli. The Gemara came out that guy can eat it. Why could the guy eat it? Because being that the yid's allowed to eat it, because for a yid it's tali and shchita, me ik immediately Yisrael shari ulayva kechav masa. But that say that achroinim the tefuah shari and others, that's only going to be true if at the end of the day the yid's allowed to eat it. But what happens if the yid can't eat it anyways? The reason the yid can't eat it because there was a shia, because there was a chalada, because there was something wrong with the shchita. If that's the case, it's hadar dina that it's going to be aser to a guy. And it's based on this Shita Sachrayim. Not everybody agrees, the Pichadash argues, but based on this Shita Sachrayim, it's the Shita of the Tashbits, of the Pritoyar, of the Tfuah Shar, and other Achrayim. Say the Shoyo
as the Tanya Kippur? Like if the Yid can't eat it because it's.
I hear. So based on that, what's that? Chagadia? So based on that, the shoyol. So based on that, the shoyol in Shaila Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. It's in Yoyer Day Simin Yud Test. He told his Rebbe. He sent the Shaila. It's a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. He said, Rebbe, I have a big problem. Because what do the Shlachthoises do? What do the slaughterhouses do when they have nevelas and treifas? They sell everything to a guy. So he says, I don't understand how you let us sell to a guy. It's true, nevela and treifas mutabah no. But you have a different problem over here. The problem is, what happens with an animal that was nisnavla at the time of the shechita? You're going to sell the entire animal to the guy. The guy is going to eat the animal. Every part of it, even the bnei me'ayin. The problem is, the bnei me'ayin is eva menachai. It's eva menachai because of Reish Lakish's lamdis, and being that even a yid's not allowed to eat it, you don't have the meek immediately, Yisrael, Shari, Ulaivi Kechav, and Masr. See, he says a very big problem. See, he came up with an eitz, he wrote a whole kuntres to the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and he wanted Haskama from his Rebbe on his kuntres to It's called Mechiras Bnei Me'ayil of Neinoyach. It basically worked like a Shtar Mechira. You sell it to a non-Jewish employee. And that he had some sort of etzah how this was all going to work. The Maisa, the Chassam Sofer, wrote back to his Talmud that, number one, I disagree with your etzah. I think that your etzah is causing more problems than it's actually solving. And then he spoke to him about, in general, doing things differently than we have in Masaira. And the Chassam Sofer says what he said all the time, V'chol mili tuva ein lemayr lechadish iser u'mikoshken heter ki minig Yisrael toirehi v'aklal ha'chadash asem en ha'toireh b'chol mok. And the Chassam Sofer always said this, v'hayoshan u'miyushan meshubach mimenu. So I would rather do things the way we've always done it and figure out why it's right rather than come up with chadash, something that no one's ever heard of. So the question is, tachlis, a very good question though. At the end of the day, how are you going to explain this? Said the Chassam Sofer that the pshat as follows. He says, the emes is, he says, he's had conversations with Shoichtim, and he says, ruba de ruba of nevelas and treifas that are found in schlachthäuses are really only Suffolk nevela and Suffolk treifa. He said, it's a fact. It's very hard to find a real nevela. He says, usually it's all based on a Suffolk. And we're very machmer because it's Suffolk deiraisa when it comes to machalas hasurais, and as a result, anytime there's a little bit of shayla, we get rid of it. Now, Suffolk Nevela, you have to go to Chumrah. Why? So we already had the Gemara a few times in Masech Teshulin, but it's something that everybody knows. The reason is because the behemoth is Becheska Sisser, I meant this. Every animal is Becheska Sisser. Now, if you ask the man on the street, why is an animal Becheska Sisser? Right, if you have a shayla now, if the Shechita was kosher or not, it's a Suffolk. I don't know. What do you do with a suffix? If you don't know what to do, it's a suffix that rises to the chumrah. But maybe you do know what to do. Chazalka rav, right? Let's sit down and try to figure out. Maybe there's a way to be machri the suffix. So the first thing you're going to say is cheska sisser. Chulin daf tesam and olive. You're going to tell me cheska sisser. What's the cheska sisser? Eva menachai, right? When the animal was alive, it was also bachila. But the truth is, it's not so pashit. It's a gemara in the end of Masech Teshulin, and Tosfos in many places in Shas. Zok Techsam Sofer is machria that it's a dover poshet that an animal does not have a cheskas iser of Eva Menachai. And the reason is because when an animal is alive, it's not a medes lachilo. The only time it would have a cheskas iser, if you have a piece of meat that's sitting on a plate and it's becheskas iser, that would be a chazaka. But a live animal doesn't have a cheskas iser of achila because it's not a medes lachilo. And it's based on a sugi in the end of Masech Teshulin. So Tosfos says throughout Shas that this that the Gemara says that an animal has a cheskas iser, it's a different chazaka. It's the chazaka of Einoi Zavuach. That's what it's known as in yeshiva. Cheskas Einoi Zavuach. And cheskas Einoi Zavuach is because in order to eat from an animal, you need a shechita. And an animal's becheskas that it didn't have a kasha shechita. So the reason every time there's a suffix shechita, the animal is also bachil, it's not because of the cheskas Eva Menachai. It's because it's becheskas that it didn't have a good shechita. Hagufa. It's what's known as cheskas Einoi Zavuach. Says the Chassam Sofer, cheskas Einoi Zavuach is a chazaka when we're dealing with a yid. Because a yid has a mitzvah shechita that he needs to accomplish before he's able to eat a piece of meat. But a benayach doesn't have shechita. For a benayach, all you need is that the animal should not be alive. If all you need is that the animal should not be alive, if you have a dead animal in front of you, it doesn't have a cheskas iser, it has a cheskas heter. Right, when the animal's alive, there was no chazaka. When does the chazaka come into effect? It's a very simple lumdus. When the animal dies. So if it's a yid, so you have to know, was the animal Zavuach or not? It's becheskas that it wasn't Zavuach. It wasn't Zavuach when it was born. So when did the Zvicha go into effect? So it's becheskas ain't a Zavuach. As a result, every time you have a Sofik Nevela, you have to go to Chumrah. But a guy doesn't need Zvicha. All you need to know with a guy is that it's dead. It's dead. It's a piece of flesh right now. So obviously it's not alive. There's no cheskas ain't a Zavuach. As a result, when it comes to a guy, every time you have a Sofik, you're going to be able to go to Kula. So said the Chassam Sofer Dover Nifl. He said most Nevelas are anyways only Sofik Nevela. If that's the case, it's true for a year to Sofik Nevela, you have to get rid of it. Why do you have to get rid of it? Because you have a cheskas ain't a Zavuach. You're not allowed to eat it. But for the Ben Noyach, it's not a problem. And being that it's not a problem for the Ben Noyach, it's going to be okay. So he says, at the end of the day, all it is a suffix. And being that all it is a suffix, you're allowed to give it to the guy. The reason you're allowed to give it to the guy, because the guy is allowed to eat suffix nevela. Azoizok the Chassam Sofer. Then the Chassam Sofer continues, and he says that the emes is, I'll tell you another svara. Va'oy nirali. And it makes a beautiful diak. He says, when the Gemara said that you're not allowed to give the Bnei Me'ayim to a guy. So what was the Lashon HaGemara? The Lashon HaGemara was, Ein mizamnim oivdei kichavim al Bnei Me'ayim. Ein mizamnim, he's not allowed to invite an any Yehudi to your house and serve him the Bnei Me'ayim. Why the Lashon HaGemara of Ein mizamnim? Why does it say simple? You're not allowed to give him. Right? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to be moishet the koisi ayin lenoz, you're not allowed to hand Eivim and Achai to a guy. So what's this Lashon of Ein mizamnim? So he says that the pshat is as follows. He says that the Tosfos in Masechtas Gittin daf Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, and he says Tosfos in Masechtas Avodah Zarah daf Tezvav Amud Aleph say a very, very important yisoid in the laws of Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol. And that is the only time there's a problem with Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol is if you know for sure that the person's going to do an Avera. But any Svara that you can ever be Toilo Lahakel, when it comes to Lifnei Iver, you're allowed to be Toilo. It's a very big Chiddush. Let's speak out one of the Makoras. And that is, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin daf Samech Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, what happens if there's two ladies, they're neighbors, and one of them is chashud on shvius? It happens to be shvius. She gets a knock on the door. My mother wants to know if she could borrow a pot. Your mother wants to borrow a pot. What's she going to use it for? For shvius pay rice? So l'churi you think you're not allowed to lend it to her. You're going to be evil if they evil see tamich. Says the Mishnah, it's okay. And the reason it's okay is mipnei darkei shalom. Meaning, if not for darkei shalom, it'd really be a problem. But Chum said a chiddush mipnei darkei shalom. Even though there's an issa shvius going on over here, we allow you to do it. Tosfos asks a kasha that there's a Mishnah masechta shvius that says Beis Hillel says you're allowed to sell a para to a person that's chashud al shvius. Machlokes b'sham b'sil, b'sham says you're not allowed to because you're afraid that the person who's chashud al shvius is going to use the para to do work in the field. B'charish v'katzat tishbais, you're not allowed to do work on the field on shvius. But b'sil says it's okay. Why is it okay? Because we could assume that maybe the person is using the para to shecht and to eat, not to work in the field. It's afraid toisus akasha. If that's the case, you see you're allowed to make assumptions when it comes to lifnei iver, specifically with regards to chashud al shvius. So why in our Mishnah do we have to come out to darkei shalom? Beshtil shita is that you're always allowed to make assumptions. So why can't we make an assumption over here? That's toisus akasha. V'im rabbeinu tam, the obvious answer. You know why in our Mishnah we had to come out to darkei shalom? Because there were no assumptions to make. There's absolutely positively no assumption to make. And as a result, the only svara that says that you're allowed to give these kalim to a woman that's chasha al shvius on shvius, ayo ever lifnei iver, it's because of a new chiddush mipnei darkei shalom. But enachinami, it to the extent that you can make an assumption, it doesn't matter what the assumption is, as Tosfos, you always have a right to make assumptions. And it doesn't matter how far-fetched it may seem. And says the Chassam Sofer, this is an important yisoid in Lifnei Yiva Leisita Michshol. Even though Tosfos doesn't speak it out as if it's important yisoid in Lifnei Yiva, but it is, says the Chassam Sofer. What Tosfos is essentially saying, that when it comes to Lifnei Yiva, you're allowed to be Toilo Lahakil. And any svar that you can come up where maybe this person is not going to be doing an Avera, you have a right to make such an assumption and assume that the person is not going to do it. He has another Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. But the bottom line is to the extent that there's any svara to be toilah, that my act of lifnei iver is not really lifnei iver, you have a right to do that. Based on that, says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you two gemaras. This gemara mesechtis nedarim daf nun dalad amid beis. The chen hoyer Rab Shimon Gamliel loymer kirvayim, the intestines of an animal, lav basar. It's not meat. Va'ichleim, and someone that eats it, lav bar inish. As nish kai mensh, human beings do not eat. Incidentally, you know what the kirvayim of an animal is? I think it's the Israeli kishka, but I'm serious. But either way, v'amru chazal, there's another gemara. Shabbos kuf mem beis amid beis. Tovi bar avza, a person should roast the bar avza, v'shadi b'nei me'ayim l'shunra. But take the... take the bnei me'ayim and give it to the shunra. Right? Don't eat it. So two gemaras that people... mentioned did not eat the bnei me'ayim. So it says the Chassam Sofer, what are you worried about? You're worried that the guy is going to eat the bnei me'ayim. I'm not worried. Because it's a gemara in the Dorim and Dalim and Beis that people don't eat the bnei me'ayim. And it's a gemara that you're supposed to give it to the shunra. If that's the case, it's enough of a svara that you could be toilo lahakel. He says that's the diak in the gemara. The gemara said, ein mezamnin. You're allowed to give it to a guy. You know why you're allowed to give it to a guy? The same way you're allowed to sell a para to someone that's chashan at shvius on shmita. Because you don't assume he's going to use it for shmita. What do you mean he's going to? No, you don't have to make the assumption. Here, you don't assume he's going to eat it. Why don't you assume he's going to eat it based on the Gemara in the Dara, based on the Gemara over here? Half of a fella, right? But as it relates to what's it called, either way, that was the Chassam Sofer. Two Mahalchim to answer this Kashi. He told the Talmud, we don't need the Kuntris, but he said, two Mahalchim, why it's okay. Number one, because Roiv Nevela is anyway Sufik. So it's true for us. We have the Cheska Zayn Zavuch. It's going to be a problem. But as it relates to the Ben Noyach, who doesn't have the Cheska Zayn Zavuch, what you're left with is a Sufik. You're left with a Sufik. For him, it's going to be okay. Number two, being that when it comes to Lifnei Iver, you're allowed to be toilah in any kula, any svar lahakel, you have a right to be toilah. Over here, we can be toilah lahakel, and it's based on that. Said the Chassam Sofer, it's going to be okay. Incidentally, at the end of this tshuva, there's a second part to this tshuva. So the Chassam Sofer told this Talmud that I'm going to attach to you a shtickle Torah that I wrote on this inyan that I wrote when I was younger. In the new Chassam Sofer's, not the ones printed in 1871, but in the but in the new Chassam Sofers, so on the bottom, they bring an extended version of what the Chassam Sofer told his Talmud when he attached this. So he writes like this, V'gam atik l'cho masha kosafti b'mei churfi b'nyonim elu. Hagam ki dekatnusehi. Amazing. This is Chassam Sofer's writing. It's a davar katan. Ulai timotze by davar toif. Maybe you'll find something there, a little read. Aval ein lismoich al advar mehem ledina. But he says, don't rely on that ledin, ki kosafti b'yaldus. Because I wrote it when I was younger. So he says, I don't want you to rely on this halacha. I just thought it was interesting because the Velt says over that the Ramshik used to say about the Chassam Sofer that if you look at the tshuvas that he wrote when he was younger and you look at the tshuvas that he wrote when he was older, that it's impossible to know which one he wrote when he was, which is very, very rare. Chassam Sofer wrote tshuvas over a 40, 50 year period. And he said it's like, it's impossible to differentiate. Usually you would think with time, style, which like, there would be natural things that would impact the tshuva, right? But the Chassam Sofer said his tshuvas were literally the same, toichen kebaron, from the beginning to the end. And he said, I think metaphorically, he said that because the tshuvas of the Chassam Sofer were halachos lemoisha, pun intended, misinai, and he said they were written beruach hakodesh, and being written beruach hakodesh, so there was no wear and tear. You didn't have the natural causes and effect that would affect a regular person. And he said the tshuvas that the Chassam Sofer, when he was young and older, it's all the same. Here the Chassam Sofer himself writes to his Talmud, he says, I don't want you to rely on this that I'm writing in my tshuva, because I wrote it when I was younger. But either way, that concludes the first daughter. Let's finish the daf, and then if we have some time, we'll speak out the second daughter. Either way, so the Gemara now is going to turn its attention really for the next three dafin, and it's going to discuss the laws of Tumah v'Tahira. So just a little bit of background. So we're all familiar with the basic concept of Tumah. Today we don't really live with the laws of Tumah v'Tahira, Tumas Nida, but there's not a lot of Tumah v'Tahira that we live with today on a Kohen's not to be Matam al-Mais, but very, very, very. But once upon a time, Tumah v'Tahira took up a very, very important part of the daily life of a Yid. And we know that there are different sources of Tumah. A mace is a source of tumah. You have the Shmoy Nishrotzim. We're learning Maseches Chulin, which deals a lot about the nevela. The nevela of a behema, the nevela of an oif, different types of tumah. You have a zav, you have a zava, you have a nida, you have a metzaira. Most things that are tumah are known in tumah v'taira terminology as an avatumah. Av in the sense that it's a source of tumah. A mace is an avi. A mace of tumah, we're not going to be discussing tumah's mace. Most sources of tumah is called an av hatumah. If an av hatumah is metame something, comes into contact with something, that thing that it came into contact with now becomes tumah, right? You touch someone that's tumah, you become tumah. It's like it's viral. That's tumah spreads. So if someone touches something that's tumah, it too becomes tumah. Stating that, it loses a certain level qualitatively of the tumah that it now has. So if something became tumah because it came into contact with something else that's tumah, so from a big picture, both things are tumah. But from an echos perspective, they're not tumah on the same level. There's an echos darga. Although the thing is tumah, but it's on a lesser extent. It's what's known as a rishon le-tumah. If a rishon le-tumah touches something else, that thing will be tameh, but it too is going to be on a lower madrega. It's going to be a sheni l'tumah. If a sheni l'tumah touches something, that thing will be tameh. A shlishi l'tumah. If a shlishi l'tumah touches something, that too will become tameh. It's what's known as a revi l'tumah. Now, just a few very important halachas. Number one, chulin can never become a shlishi l'tumah. That means the highest level of tumah, or the lowest level of tumah, that chulin can ever attain is a sheni l'tumah. So, a rishon touches chulin, given certain parameters, chulin could become a sheni l'tumah. But if a sheni l'tumah of chulin, let's say, will now touch another piece of chulin, that thing will not become tameh. It stops there. Chulin can never become a shlishi l'tumah. Shruma could become a shlishi l'tumah. Shruma, however, can't become a revi l'tumah. So you can never have a revi l'tumah that's going to be truma. Kachim could become even a revi l'tumah. So you have rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi. The highest level of tumah that chulin can have is sheni. Meaning you'll never have chulin that's a shlishi l'tumah. Chulin that's a sheni, or truma that's a sheni, or kachim that's a sheni can make truma or kachim into a shlishi. It can't make chulin into a shlishi. Truma is the highest level of shlishi. A shlishi could not make chulin or truma into a revi. It could, however, make kachim into a revi. I hope that made sense. Either way, it's like the Mishnah. If somebody shechts a behema or a chaya, or a knife. These things are all important. And he did a very clean job. No blood came out of the animal. The halacha is ksherim. The shechita is kosher. It seems like there would have been a havamina that if no dam came out of the animal, maybe that should be a reason in and of itself that the shechita should be possible. Says the Mishnah, no, it's going to be kosher. Additionally, a very big chiddush. You're going to be allowed to eat the meat of this animal. You can take the meat out and you can eat it even if your hands are tame. And the reason is, because we know that in order for food to become tame, it first has to be huchshel kabel tomo, which means it has to become wet with some mashka. If it doesn't become wet, you could touch it with hands that are tummy from today till tomorrow, it in and of itself won't be, even if a sheretz falls on it, it won't be tummy. So we're discussing someone that's a sheichet, he's shechning, and his hands are tummy. The question is, could he take a piece of meat out now? Could he eat it? So the halacha is that usually no, because usually the basar is automatically going to become huchshel lekabel tuma, because the bloody situation, the blood that came out of the animal, is going to cause the basar to become now huchshel lekabel tuma. So if your hands are tummy, you're now going to be matam of the basar. But in the event that you were able to shech the behemah chai v'oif, v'lo yotze mehem dam, so not only is it kosher shita, but you have a fringe benefit, and that is necholim b'yadayim mesua voice. And the reason is, l'fishalei huchshu Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, huchshu b'shchita, we're going to see Rabbi Shimon in a few days. Sok the Gemara, time v'lo yotze mehem dam. From the Gemara, it's mashma, that the only reason it's okay to eat this basar with tummy hands is because where there was no dam, so the basar never became huchshel lekabel tumah. But if dam would come out, then you wouldn't be allowed to. Why not? Very simple. Because the dam is machshir the basar lekabel tumah, and as a result, your hands, which are tameh, were now matame the hands. So therefore, if you had your dayim mesuavos, if you had tameh hands, your hands are going to be matame the basar. Freak the Gemara, my Tyrus 101, Yadayim Shnei Yosei. Anytime we're discussing hands that are tameh, meaning hands in contrast to the rest of the body, the hands are by definition a shemi l'tumah. We'll see on Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to have a hechitimtza where it's possible to have yodayim that are really a rishin l'tumah. But for now, the Gemara assumes, which is for sure the pashtus, that yodayim are always shnias l'tumah. If that's the case, the hands that are a shemi l'tumah can anyways not make this behema tumah. You know why? Because ve'en sheni yoysa shlishi b'chulin. Because we said earlier, chulin can never become a shlishi l'tumah. Truma could be a shlishi l'tumah. Kachin could be a shlishi. Kachin could even be a revi'i l'tumah. But chulin can never be a shlishi l'tumah. If that's the case, we're dealing with shechitas chulin over here, right? So if that's the case, what's the issue anyways? The shechit shechted with hands that are tameh, you worry that he should be able to eat the meat because his hands that are tameh are going to be the tameh of the basr of the animal. No, they're not, because the basr of the animal is chulin. We're learning mesachtas chulin, not learning zvachim, we're learning chulin. So we're dealing with chulin l'chayra. So if we're dealing with chulin, your dayim that are shechit anyways can't be the tameh. Because Shani is not always a shlishi l'chulin. Says the Gemara, we might have a chulin askina. How do you know we're talking about chulin? Says that maybe we're talking about kachim. I mean, even though we're learning masachtas chulin, but nunu, maybe we're dealing with kachim. And the Gemara is going to give four reasons, ul gishmak, how we know that we're learning chulin now and we're not learning kachim. Number one, the k'tani chaya. The Mishnah says, "Ashoichet behem chay v'oif." Dilu kachim chay bekachim yeka. No such thing as chay bekachim. V'su ibekachim ki lo yatzim v'dem dam ksheira. Is it possible for the Mishnah to make a statement and say that you shechted kachim, you're shechting an oil, there was no dam? No worries, it's kosher. What do you mean? Who adds me the dam utzarech? The whole tachlis of a carbon oil, all kosher. What's the ikar? The zrika. The ikar is the dam. You need kabbalah. You need aloch. You need zrika. So obviously, it can't be kosher without dam. Vesu, a third right. Ibe kachem gets mem dami machsher. By kachem, dam kachem is not machsher. It's a special chiddush. There's exeris hakasav. Even though mashkim a machsher oichel to be mekabel tuma, but dam kachem is not. It's learned out from Rabbi Chiba Rabban Rabbi Yoichem. Dam kachem shein machsher. Shenema ala oret tishbechenu kamei. And we learn from there dam shen nishbach kamei machsher. Dam that your lettuce pour on the floor, that has an ability to be machshel lekabel tumah. She'ini nishbach kamayim, but dam that's not nishbach kamayim, any machshel. V'su, and a fourth kasha, ibekachim, if we're dealing with kachim, ki liyotz mehem dam, loy miskashri, v'skri b'shchivis ha-kodesh. And the fourth question, if we're dealing with kachim, you don't even need it to be huchshel lekabel tumah. Dikaimelo, because we know this rule, chivas ha-kodesh machshartam, kachim wakes up in the morning, muchshel lekabel tumah. Kachim doesn't need anything to be machsherit lekabel tumah. And if that's the case, freik to zok to Gemara, four rayas from the Mishnah that the Mishnah is dealing not with shchitas kachem, but with shchitas chulin. Number one, the Mishnah mentions a chaya. There's no shchitas chaya in kachem. Number two, the Mishnah says that it could be kosher even if there's no dam. kachim. All you need is the dam. Dam is the one thing that's ma'akev. Number three, the Mishnah says that the dam would be machshirit. Dam kachim is not machshir. And number four, the Mishnah says you need dam to be machshirit. Kachim doesn't need anything to be machshirit lekabel tuma. Chibas hakodesh is machshartin. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravu. So Rav Nachman said the name Rabbi Ravu. Hacha, you have to say that the Mishnah is talking about bechulin. We're talking about a behemoth that was once chulin. Shalacham a kesef meiser. You bought it with meiser sheni money. So somebody had meiser sheni. He was paid it. Now he has money. Goes up to Yerushalayim and he takes his meiser sheni money and he buys a behemoth. This is the behemoth that the person shechting right now. Udloiker ameir. And the Mishnah loiker ameir. How we went to the Mishnah. Call hatotin bi asmayim edivrei soifrim. Anything that requires tefila, tahira, midrabanan, metames hakodesh is a sheni l'toma. And being that it's a sheni l'toma, it's metames hakodesh. What does that mean? Metama, when you're dealing with toma v'tahira, it means it makes kachim tame in a way that it could be metama. That's what yitama means. Because the kachim becomes a shlishi, and it could make more kachim a revi, upaisel as a truma. But it's only paisel truma. Because although it could be metama truma, but it can't make the truma tame that it should be able to be metama more truma. Now the truth is, it's a little misleading, because the truma could be metama kachim. It's paisel as a truma in the truma sense. But the bottom line is, umbuta b'chulin ubamaiser, something that's a sheni l'toma does not have an ability to be metama chulin. It doesn't have an ability to be metama maiser sheni. Divri rameir. V'chachomim oisrim b'maiser. The chachomim say no, that when it comes to maiser, it's going to be oser. Which the Gemara assumes now means, it could be metama maiser sheni. What's the bottom line? What do you see from me? You see, machlekes remain the chachomim, whether a sheni l'toma could be metama maiser sheni or not. Says the Gemara, hachim mayaskinon, where this behemah was maiser sheni. How do you have a behemah that's maiser sheni? Behemah doesn't grow from the ground. It's because you bought the behemah with maiser sheni money. So all the transfer of kedusha ended up landing on this behemah. So you have a behemah now that's maiser sheni, and this is the behemah that you're shechting. So according to the chachamim that say that a sheni l'toma could make maiser sheni, a shlishi l'toma, hacha b'mayaskina, where it was technically chulin, it was a behemah, it was a chaya, it was not kachim, but at the same time, it's not ordinary chulin, it's maiser sheni. And we're going according to the chachamim that holds that a sheni can be oisa maiser sheni, a shlishi, with like Rav Meir, who said mefurish, that a sheni, kol atom bias maim edivrei soifrim, which by definition is a sheni l'toma, is muta b'chulin ube maiser. Says the Gemara of Rav Shimi Barashi, mimai, how do you know that? We're assuming that this machloik is remaining the chachamim in the braisa regarding a sheni l'toma. The last words. What were the words? Umuter bechulin ubemaisa divir rameir the chachamim moisim. We're assuming what it means is, could it be metama or could it not be metama? Rav Shimi Barashi said, I don't think that's pshat in the machloik. I think pasha pshat in the Mishnah. That's not what it means. Rather, atkan lo pligi rabbanu led rameir ela bachilas maisa. A different question. The question, if somebody's tame, he's a sheni l'toma, is he allowed to eat maiser or not? Avo benegia de maiser, but as it relates to touching maiser, v'achila de chulin or eating chulin lo pligi. And in our Mishnah, no, you see, there's an issue with touching it. How do you know? It said, the question is, necholin. It doesn't say oichlin. It says necholin. It sounds like, could you touch it? Could you even feed it to somebody else? And still you see in our Mishnah, it's going to be an issue. In other words, Rav Shimi Barashi said, I don't think that machloik is remaining the chum as a tzuchel to our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is discussing touching the animal with hands that are tameh. Touching it to eat it for yourself or touching it to feed it to somebody else. Necholin. Not can I eat it, but can it be eaten? What's up doing me? I mean, can I feed it to somebody? Can I give it to somebody else? That seems to be the question. Maybe the machloikis remain in the chachamim regarding the sheni l'tum is not whether or not I can touch it. Maybe everybody agrees I can touch it. Maybe the shaila is whether or not I'm allowed to eat it. And Rashi says the lashon of the Mishnah, if you look back at it, is very mashba that way. What did the Mishnah say? Kol aton bias mayin midivrei soifrim metame as hakodesh upoisel as hatshuma umuter bechulin ubemaiser divrei rameir v'chachamim oisrim muter aser. When you think of tuma v'tayir, you don't talk in terms of muter aser. You talk about if I touched it, did it become tame? Well, I'm not allowed to be metame chulin. And that muter aser sounds like can I eat it? Is there but the question over there is with regards to being allowed to eat it or not. And there is a shittas chachamim that says that a sheni l'tuma is not allowed to eat ma'isa sheni. But no one ever said that if a sheni l'tuma touches ma'isa sheni, that it's necessarily going to become tame omerap, el omerap, papa, zerap, papa said, you're right, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Again, we have a Mishnah that says that somebody's shechting an animal, he shechts it with hands that are tame, if dam came out, then the basar becomes mukhshal kabel tuma. You can't eat it with hands that are tame. If dam didn't come out, then you could eat. So obviously, there's a concern over that this shaykh may be betam. The Gemara's kasha is that we assume we're discussing chulin.
And if we're discussing chulin, then a sheni is anyways not oisa shlishi when it comes to chulin. So what's the whole tumah shayla over here? This person has hands that are tummy, stam yodai mashnius l'tumah. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says, number one, how do you know we're talking about chulin? We're about four rayas. So the first teretz that the Gemara gave was that maybe we don't mean regular chulin. Maybe what we're talking about is maisa sheni. But that the Gemara knocked out. Elam rapap, rapap, you're right. We're dealing with chulin, and we're dealing with a person's hands that are tummy. And it's true, ordinarily, a person's hands that are tummy are a sheni l'tumah. And a sheni is not oisa shlishi when it comes to chulin. But there is a hechatimtza where you could have hands that are tameh and it's a rishon l'tumah. For Rav Shimon Alozi, and it's going to Rav Shimon Alozi. Time you learn to the Brisa, any time tchilas l'chulin. It's never possible to have hands that are going to be a rishon l'tumah. Rav Shimon Alozi, oimem mishum rameh yodaim tchilas l'chulin. No, it's possible to have hands that are going to be a rishon l'tumah for chulin. V'shniyos l'tumah. And they're going to be a sheni l'tshuma. Faith to Gemara, that doesn't make sense. Tchilos l'chulin in l'tshuma loy. How could it be more chomer for chulin than it is for tshuma? Hachi chomer. Tchilos af l'chulin. Its hands could sometimes be viewed as a rishon l'tshuma, even for chulin. Shnias l'tshula in l'chulin loy. But the bottom line is that we're going according to Rav Shimon Elazar, who said in a braisa that you could have your dayan that are a rishon l'tshuma. Our Mishnah's talking about hacha b'maya skina, where the hands were a rishon, being that it's a rishon, it'd be oisa chulon. Shane, he says, where do we have a makar for this? What is the case? What's the hechetimtza? We have yadayim that's a rishon. Thomas the Gemara said, "Tanya went to the price hechnes yada lebeis hamenuga." We know that if somebody walks into a house that's a beis hamenuga that has a nega, he becomes tamei. But midday raisa, you only become tamei if your entire guf enters the house. But if only part of you enters the house, it's really a sugi masechtes vachim. Be a b'miktzah shmabia, or be a b'miktzah loy shmabia. But the halach is that midday raisi is definitely not tummy. So this price is discussing where somebody entered a beis hamenuga with his hands. So the halach is yadav tchila is divrei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says his hands become a rishon tummy. Chama Rabbi Chama says yadav shniyus, hands become a sheni tummy. The Kuli Yama says the more b'miktzah loy shmabia. Everybody holds b'miktzah loy shmabia. So it's not really considered that he went in. And it's only midrash banan because the Chama made a gzera. We want your hands to become tummy if they enter a beis hamenuga. Gzera atu. What happens if your entire body enters? So what's the machloikis? Rabbi Akiva said that now the Chachamim went, Yishmak machloikis, and said that the hand should be tamei. The gather of the Durabana was, let's view the hands as if it's the entire guf. And just like if the entire guf would enter, the guf would become a rishon l'tumah. So too, if the hands go in, the hands are also going to be a rishon l'tumah. Umar Savar and the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Akiva hold yadayim ki yadayim da'amu. It's true, the Chachamim wanted the yadayim to become tamei midrabanan. Gzeira atu if your entire guf goes in. But what kind of tumah did they give it? They gave it the tumah that all yadayim has. And all yadayim is a sheni l'tumah. So this one also is a sheni l'tumah. The bottom line is, you want to know where it's possible to have you're dying that are going to be tummy and they're going to be a rishon l'toma. I just found it. It's possible if a person stuck his hands into a beis hamenuga, be a b'miksa shloishma, be a semidei raisi and atame, midrabanan you are. Rabbi Akiva says that the gather of the tumma d'rabanan is ke'en the tumma d'raisa. If a person would go with his entire guf into the beis hamenuga, he'd be a rishon l'toma. If your hands go in, it's going to be a rishon l'toma as well. Bottom line is, we had a kasha in the Mishnah, you're worried about being metame chulin. L'chura yadayim is always a sheni l'tumah. Sheni is not always a shlichi l'chulin. Hacha b'mayaskina, where a person stuck his hands into a beis hamenuga. Be b'mixed with loish mabi. It's tummy midrabanan. Like Rabbi Akiva, what kind of tumah does it get? Like the aim, the tumah they rise, it gets a rishon l'tumah. Thus, it could be oisa chulin sheni. That's the teretz. So, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Faith to Gemara, if you're holding Cheshbin, why does the Tana of the Mishnah have to be Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Could have said more pashat. But look, make Rabbi Akiva. Why? Well, let's just make Rabbi Akiva. Dama yadav tchilay saying. I mean, at the end of the day, Rav Shimon Elazar had to come on to Rabbi Akiva. There's no Rav Shimon Elazar without Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva essentially said the same thing Rav Shimon Elazar said. He said that it's possible to have yadayim that are rishon l'tumah. So why are we saying the Mishnah is Rav Shimon Elazar and he's going like Rabbi Akiva? Let the Mishnah be Rabbi Akiva. No, no. So why is it better if the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva and Rav Shimon Elazar? So Rashi, because everybody knows Rabbi Akiva and Shas is called Rabbi Akiva Stimta. And one of the reasons he's called Rabbi Akiva Stimta is because Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir Alibid Rabbi Akiva. It all traces Stam Mishnah, the source to our Mishnahis that we have, the source of Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. Alice Kunt Mitairas is Rabbi Akiva. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. So if you have Rabbi Akiva, it makes much more sense to say that we're going to Rabbi Akiva instead of saying that it's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we didn't shtal to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva, there would have been makom to say, Dilma ki kamar, Rabbi Akiva, hani mi lebetrum of a kachim dechamiri. True, Rabbi Akiva said there's a concept of Yadayim getting a rishon l'tumah. But maybe only with regards to truma and kachim. Aval chulin shnias havyan. Meaning if hands that entered a beis hamenuga would touch truma, it would make the truma a sheni, which would allow that truma to make more truma a shlishi. which would allow now to make kachim a revi. But it's only in the context of truma and kachim that we look at the hands as a rishon. Maybe as it relates to chulin, not. Avol chulin shnius havyon. But from Shimon Alaza, you see, not that way. He holds that it's possible to have your dayan tchilos. What was Rabbi Shimon Alaza's lashon? Rabbi Shimon Alaza oimer mishum Rabbi Meir. Your dayan tchilos lechulin. He said mefurish that it works for chulin. Rabbi Shimon Alaza works in our mishnah. Rabbi Akiva, we're not sure because duma ki kamer Rabbi Akiva hani mili betruma v'kachim. But as it relates to chulin, maybe not. But the Gemara says, I think the time of the mishnah could still be Rabbi Akiva. You know why? Because of a whole nother Rabbi Akiva. But lehamin amishniyos. The whole question was predicated on a fact that we know that a sheni is not oisa shlishi b'chulin. It just so happens not everybody agrees with that fact. There's one Tana who doesn't hold that way. You know that Tana is? It's none other than Rabbi Akiva. The time we learned in the Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah that's brought down in Masechta Soita. Rabbi Akiva. Which day? The day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became Nasi, Nisrab Asaf Solon, Toichai Kabare, Brachas Daf Chav Ches, that day. So, Rabbi Akiva, B'chol Kli Cheres, any kli cheres, where's the pasuk? Acha yipo mehem el toichoi, kol asher besoichoi yitma, v'oisoi seshbayros. A kli cheres has a very special ability to be metama. What's the halacha? That anything that falls into the circumference, even if it's only in the aver of the kli cheres, if there's a sheretz, for example, of the kli cheres, the sheretz is metama what's inside. Additionally, if you have something sitting in the kli cheres, and now a sheretz falls into the aver of the kli cheres, it could be metama as well. The Gemara discussed this pasuk in very great detail in Zvachim Daf Gimel. Either way, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Darshim in this pasuk, it's kol kli cheres asher yipa mehem el toichai, kol asher besoichai yitma. And Rabbi Kiva was bothered, grammar. It shouldn't have said kol asher besoichai yitma, it should have said kol asher besoichai tameh. Said Rabbi Akiva, tameh loy nemel yitma. The tameh acherim, a tremendous chiddush, limit, you know, we learn from here, that if a piece of bread falls into a kli cheres, where there's a sheretz, limit al kikor sheni, that kikar not only is a tummy but yitma, it could be matama. What could it be matama? Everything. It could even be matama chulin. In other words, even though the kikar is a sheni latoma, the kikar fell into the klicheres where there was a sheretz. So the kikar became tummy from the klicheres. Right? The klicheres is the rishon. It was matama the kikar. The kikar is a sheni, and kol asher besoichai not tomei but yitma. You see that the kikar could be metama, every viter, everything, even chulin. So said Rabbi Akiva, boy b'yayim darish Rabbi Akiva, that a sheni is oisa shlishi b'chulin. So again, so what's the whole issue over here? Why don't we just say the time of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva? It's true, you have a Mishnah that's sheni is oisa shlishi, but Rabbi Kiva Sheet is that a sheni could be oisa shlishi. The Gemara says, "Doma hani mila b'tuma de raisa of the rabbanon loy." Even though it's true, Rabbi Kiva holds that a sheni is oisa. You don't want to leave now. That a sheni is oisa shlishi. That's only with regards to tuma de raisa. But maybe as it relates to tuma de rabbanon. Not our mission is discussing your dayin mesua voice with the hands with tuma. Stam yadayim is only a sheni l'tuma with the rabbanon. Maybe by a sheni l'tuma with the rabbanon, you don't have this halacha excel. So just before we end, in the spirit of a hashtag Sunday style daf, just to conclude today's daf. Me'ein, the first part of the daf, with a kasha from the Minchas Chinuch. Just the kasha. The punchline is the kasha. The Minchas Chinuch prefaces this question with the following akdomi. He says, "Ve'echtev l'cha kushya nifla tehilo l'kel yisbarach." So he's giving shvach v'yidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kasha. Now usually a kasha is a problem. You don't want a kasha. But this kasha is the punchline. So either way, so what's Minchas Chinuch's kasha? It's in Moisach HaShabbos. It's a mitzvah lamid beis. At the end, after he goes through the Lamed Tes Melachos, it's Ois Beis, page Kuf Ayin Ches, in the Numen Ches Chinuch. We had a Mishnah in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Yud, it's a Cheshbe. We had a Mishnah in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Yud Alam Manav. The Mishnah said, HaShoichet B'Shabbos, Afal Pisha Mischayev Ben Nafshoi, Shechitas Ekshev. If somebody shechs on Shabbos, even B'Mezer. Even though we Schayev Miso, the Halach is, his Shechit is going to be Kasha. Tais asks Akasha, that why is the Shechit Kasha? Why isn't he a Mumma L'Chal Shabbos? And a Mumma L'Chal Shabbos has a din of a guy. So Tais says that the only time a Mumma L'Chal Shabbos has a din of a guy is if he's Mumma L'Chal Shabbos before Hesia. Maybe he's talking about where he didn't do it before Hesia. Tais says another teretz, that maybe he only becomes a Mummer after the first Shechita. But for the first Shechita itself, not. So he tells us too, and in Siman Nun Beis, we spoke out this raid when we learned the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph Amud. But the truth is, there's another very, very important kasha that we didn't speak out on the time. And that is the Maritz kasha. Marit asks a kasha that we know there's machlek is a bayi v'rava in the beginning of Masechtas Tmura. Kol milsa da'ovid rachmano loy sali. I'ovid mahani or I'ovid loy mahani. Abaye says that if a person does something that the Torah said he's not supposed to do, it doesn't have any impact on the chalois. The effect goes into effect regardless. Rava says no. Kol milsa da amar rachmano loy savid. The halacha is e avid loy mahani. If you do something that the Torah told you not to do, the halacha is that if you do it loy mahani. Afraid the marita kasha hashoichet b'shabes. He violated one of the lametes melachis. If he violated one of the lametes melachis, l'chayra he was over a milsa da amar rachmano loy savid. We paskin like Rav. This is not one of the Yalkagams. We paskin kol milsa dov rachmano le savid yavid loy mahani. If that's the case, why shchitasik sheir? Why don't you say kol milsa dov rachmano le savid yavid loy mahani? A gevaldig akasha. Said the Marit, a very important insight. The only time you say kol milsa dov rachmano le savid yavid loy mahani, that's only if by saying loy mahani you're going to accomplish something. The purpose of saying loy mahani is if the iser is contingent on the chalois. So then you'll say, oh, if the chalois never went into effect anyways, so it comes out you didn't do the iser. So to fadin the iser, there's a klal of kol milsa dov rachmano le savid yavid loy mahani. But if benkach u benkach, the aveiru will have been done, and you're not accomplishing anything by saying yavid loy mahani, there the halacha is yavid mahani. So said the Marit, what's the iser of shoichet b'shabes? Netilas neshama, you killed an animal. Whether the shechitas kosher, the shechitas pasul, the animal's dead. Regardless, you did the netilas neshama. Which means that saying Yavid loy mahani is not going to fadin anything as far as the iser goes. If that's the case, you don't have the klal yavid loy mahani. But says the Marit, you're going to tell me it's not posh? Why? Because everybody knows that mekalkel b'shabbos is potter. The only time you chayiv for doing malach on Shabbos is if you're masakel when you do the malach. But if you're mekalkel on Shabbos, you're potter. So time the Marit, very geschmack. If the shchit is kosher, so then you were masakel when you did the ma'aseh shchita. But if the shchit is posh, you're going to be left with an avela. If you're going to be left with an avela, you're a mekalkel. Mekalkel b'shabbos is potter. So let's say yavid loy mahani, so that you'll have now a mekalkel. If you're a mekalkel, you just fadin the melach Shabbos, because the mekalkel b'Shabbos is potter. But says Marit, it's a tais. Because although it's true that a yid is only allowed to eat from an animal if it has a kosher shechita, but a goy is not allowed to eat from a live animal, but he's allowed to eat from a dead animal, afilu b'nechir ba'alma. Even if he didn't have a kosher shechita, if that's the case, even a shechita psula, a shechita that's an avela, is still a maisa mesakin, because it's mesakin the animal for the benoyach, because the benoyach previously was not allowed to eat it because it was eva menachai, now it's not eva menachai anymore. So says the Marit, hafla v'fela, that's why there's no yavad loy mahani. You're right, technically, ashechit b'shabbos, you should say, kom b'sodav rachman alay sabad yavad loy mahani. But the hectomy is so that the only time you say Avodah Mehadi is if you can accomplish something by saying it. But if the Isra is going to be done regardless, it's not, then there's no reason to say Avodah Mehadi. Here the Isra is Netilas Neshama. And whether the Shechita was kosher, the Shechita wasn't kosher, you kill the animal. You'll tell me no. Because if the Shechita is kosher, you were Mesakin. If the Shechita is possible, you were Mekalkel. It's not true, because even if the Shechita is possible, you were still Mesakin. You were Mesakin for a Benoyach. Till now it was Eva Menachai. Now it's not Eva Menachai anymore. Either way, says the Minchas Chinuch, that the Hadvarim Mefursamim Ayin Sharem Melech Perik Gimel Migerish and Aloch Yotes who vote Dvarav Bichibur Zek Kama Pa'amim. These are the words of the Marit. Stating that, says the Minchas Chinuch, I heard a kasha nifla. And with one hakdom, one little bit of leap of faith that you have to take, not such a chiddush, but there's just one assumption that you have to make. Says the Minchas Chinuch, that's pasha to me. That what would be if a person did an Isser, and by saying Yavid Loi Mehani, we can't fardin, we can't correct the entire Isser. But we can correct a little bit of the Isser. Would that be enough to say Yavid Loi Mahani? Says the Minchas Chinuch, I believe yes. Meaning, as long as we can fadin a little bit of the Isser, I think that would be enough for us to say that Loi Mahani. Because Loi Mahani is said anytime we can accomplish something, and even if I can't accomplish saving the entire Avera, but if I can save part of the Avera, I think that would be enough. If that's the case, says the Minchas Chinuch, based on today's daf, Chulon daf lamed gimel amud aleph, I'm going to ask you a bumper kasha. And that is, we know the halacha of Riba b'Shiyura. Riba b'Shiyura is a sugya in Mesechtes Menachis. The Gemara over there discusses a case where there was a chayla sheyesh v'sakana. And the doctor said that we need to give this person grapes. The problem is there no grapes. There were two branches. This chayla needed two grapes. One branch has two grapes, the other branch has three grapes. So what's the halacha? You cut the branch that has two grapes. Why? Because here you're cutting less grapes. Now you're going to tell me what's the difference. At the end of the day, it's one ma'isek tzira. It's true, it's only one ma'isek tzira. But there's a concept of ribui b'shiura, that you want to be mema'it in the shira as much as possible. Meaning if two people are over the same chil Shabbos, but one person had a bigger shira than the other, the one that had a bigger shira did more of an avera. There was more echos speaking qualitatively chil Shabbos. That's halacha ribui b'shiura. Most Rishonim hold ribui b'shiura is the Rabbana. But there's a shita haran. The ran shita is that ribui b'shiura is Dairais. Says the Mechas Chinuch, let's talk about a chulin case. What would be if there's a chulin sheish by sakon and Shabbos, and the doctor said we have to shecht for this person? There's no basan avail. Right, we have to shecht for this person. And there's two animals. There's a big, gross animal, and then there's a behemoth daka. There's a smaller animal. Says the Mechas Chinuch, it's pasha like the ran, mid dairaisa, you'd be obligated to shecht the smaller animal. Because it's riba b'shiura. Why go ahead and shecht the bigger animal where you're being marbin the shear? It's better to go ahead and shecht the smaller animal. If that's the case, says the Mechas Chinuch, in today's daf, we saw an unbelievable idea. We saw that the halacha is that every single time a new shecht, an animal, there's a question, could a benoyach eat from the bnei me'ayim, or could the benoyach not eat from the bnei me'ayim? What's the shayla? The shayla is because as soon as you sever the kana and the veshet, anything attached to the kana and the veshet, the mancha b'dikula damyo, it's as if they're not in the body of the animal anymore. The problem is the animal's still alive. The animal is still mefarcheses. In other words, it's technically every menachah. For a year, it's not an issue, because as long as there's a shechita, it could be alive and well. A bempekua, you're allowed to eat without a shechita. Because despite the fact that it's alive, because it had the shechita in the mother, because there was a ma'isa shechita. But a guy, the benachira talia milsa, it's not telling a shechita, it's going to be an issue. Stating that, the Gemara said it's not that way. Rapapa said he heard, he wanted to ask the kasha. He didn't ask it, but it turned out Rapapa was right. Why? Because me, ik immediately Yisrael, shari benaya chaser. Meaning, even though in theory, the bnei me'ayim of an animal was always Eve Menachai, still a guy is allowed to eat the Bnei Me'ayim. If he is allowed to eat the Bnei Me'ayim, a guy is allowed to eat the Bnei Me'ayim. Stating that the Tfuah Shar and the Tashbitz and the Pre-Tayer, as brought down in the Pisgei Tshuva and Simen Chav Zayin, there's a whole Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, by the way, on this singular day of Simen Yotas, where the Achrayim discuss with the Shayel and the Kuntres, and they discuss that that's only going to be true if it's the Behemoth's Shchuta. Because then it's mutter to the yitz, and Mela has to be mutter to the guy, because of Miya Kamidi. But what happens if the behemoth is an Avela? Over there, you're not going to have this halacha. Over there, you're not going to have the Miya Kamidi. If that's the case, it's going to be usser. If that's the case, it's going to be usser for the guy to eat it. That's the case, says the Minchas Chinuch. Hashoichet b'Shabbos. What's the halacha? Shchitas l'ksheira. Freit the Marit Akasha. Why shchitas l'ksheira? Say Yavalei Mahani. She says, because Yavalei Mahani is not going to accomplish anything. Why? Because at the end of the day, even if you tell me the shchita is not kosher, you still kill the animal, and you were still misaking the animal. Why? Because the Benayas let eat it. He says, 1 second. I'll tell you where Chapsach and Afgamino. If shchitas is ksheira, that means a yid's allowed to eat from it. If a yid's allowed to eat from it, then a guy could eat from it, from the entire animal, even from the bnei me'ayim. If the shechit is possible, then it's going to come out that it's an avela. If it's an avela, it's true you were mesakin for the guy, but there's one part of the animal you were not mesakin, that you were makalkal, that's the bnei me'ayim. Because the bnei me'ayim is eva menachai. The only reason the guy's allowed to eat is because the yid's allowed to eat it. But for that, you need shechitas ksheira. If shechitas is psula, then it's going to be eva menachai. That means the guy won't be able to eat it. So it comes out by saying that the shechit is possible, what you're fadining is you're being memayit in the sheer of how much nicer tikkun of the tilas Hashem you did. If the shechita is kosher, you are masaking the entire animal. That means in the shear of Netilas Neshama, it's the entire animal. But if you're going to tell me that it's an avela, so it's true there was Netilas Neshama, and it's true you were masaking, but there's one chelik of the animal you were masaking, that chelik you were makalko. So let's say you yavadloi mahani, not to save the entire iser, you can't save it, but you could save part of the iser, you could save the riba b'shiura, and why shouldn't that be enough to say shechita saipsu, this is a kash that really spans so many sugyas ashas. He begins the kasha of the echt of lechakushin nefla tehilo lekel yisbarach. He concludes the kasha with vehi kushin nefla. I think any terrorist is anticlimactic, so I think we'll leave it over here.